Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUTA 9.5 FM. Does art bore you? And do foreign movies with subtitles seem dull? Well, you're in for a shock. This week, I'm looking at three movies about how people use and abuse their bodies. One's a Japanese drama about men who stick sharp objects into their stomachs in the name of honor. Another about two women who sell their bodies, but only for the thrill of it. And also an American documentary about a woman who throws her body full force at immobile, naked men, but purely for artistic reasons. To start with, let's go with the art movie. Well, a movie about art that won't put you to sleep. Marina Abramovich, The Artist Is Present, directed by Matthew Akers. So Marina Abramovich is a beautiful woman in her 60s, born in Belgrade to communist parents who fought in the resistance in World War II. They were cold, authoritarian, and methodical, die-hard communists. So to break away from all this, she chose to go in the opposite direction. She became a pioneer in radical performance art beginning in the 70s, and she's famous for using her own body, generally naked, as the medium of her art. So she used to cut herself, burn herself, starve herself, hurt herself, throw herself against immutable objects, and whip herself at length. But she brought the military discipline with which she was raised to sustain these extended and painful zen-like performances. Then she meets another artist named Ule in the Netherlands who does similar things, and they fall madly in love. Now she has a performance artist, Ule, and a life partner. They slap each other's faces over and over, throw themselves body first into each other, things like that. Always naked, of course. But all things come to an end, and when they break up, she's devastated, as she had handled the artistic side, but never the business side of her art. So now flash forward to the present. She's transformed herself into a hugely successful art superstar, a theatrical performer now as much as an ideological artist. And the Museum of Modern Art in New York City decides to do a retrospective. But she's in her 60s now, so she enrolls a whole gang of young artists with nice bodies in a performance art boot camp and meditation lodge. She's training them to how to re-perform her old pieces with their new bodies. And Marina herself sets up a live performance that consists of her sitting in a chair in a huge, empty white hall where the viewers sit across from her one by one and look deeply into her eyes. The movie follows her past using period footage and photos, her ascent to celebrityhood, and finally this amazing performance, which ended up having people waiting around the block overnight just to get a chance to sit there watching her. And it also follows behind the scenes in constructing this work. It's equal part art, fame, philosophy, and just a bit of hucksterism. If you've never seen a movie about art before, and if fine art intimidates you, this is a good one to start with. It's exciting, sexy, entertaining, funny, shocking, and totally accessible. It's a great movie. Next, Harakiri, Death of a Samurai, directed by Takashi Miike, and this is the Toronto premiere. Did you know that samurai were basically bureaucrats and tax collectors, not fighters? Well, around 1600, after the Battle of Sekigahara unified the country under the Tokugawa military government, the samurai, who'd fought on the losing side, often found themselves as ronin, samurai without a master. It left them penniless, aimless, and with a great loss in status. So this movie is about a poor ronin named Hanshiro who shows up at the house of Yi saying he wants to commit seppuku or harakiri. That's ritual suicide where the samurai takes his small sword, razor sharp sword, and slices up his belly until he falls over dead, at which point another samurai chops off his head. Nice. But what does the daimyo rep say? Oh no, not another one, not again. So you see, a younger ronin named Motome had tried the same thing not too long before. And he says he was a scammer who just wanted a few coins as a payoff for not bloodying up the nice courtyard. But these samurai called his bluff. They said, go ahead, kill yourself. But it turns out he didn't have a short sword. He'd pawned it and replaced it with a bamboo replica. But the cruel samurai guys say, doesn't matter. There's a long, painful scene where they force this young nonin to go through with this to pierce his belly with a piece of broken wood until he dies. Ow! 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 Anyway, back to the present. They tell the story, and they tell the story to the older ronin that he can go home, no problem. This is it's like a lesson for him. But there, the plot turns. Turns out, he's the younger nonin's father-in-law, and he came there expressly to prove a point. That the samurai code, the vaunted code of warriors, that bastion of dignity and honor, the power of the sword, all that. He says it's just a load of crap. So the movie culminates in a scene that wouldn't be out of place in a Zatoichi, that's the blind swordsman movie. My description can't do justice to this movie, and I don't want to give it all away, but it's a dark, tense drama and a damning challenge to authority and corruption, showing how false and hollow the whole thing is. It's directed by the very famous Takashi Miike, who's known for his violence and excess, but he's amazingly restrained here with an almost Shakespearean take on 17th century Japanese samurai drama. Next is Guilty of Romance, directed by Sono Shion. This is the Canadian debut, and it's restricted to people over the age of 18. Okay, so Tokyo police detectives find a bloody scene in a love hotel, and they want to uncover the mystery. But what a mystery it is. It starts with a new bride who has this dictatorial husband. She's sexually naive, traditional Japanese housewife who wears a kimono, has her hair all pulled back. She bows to her lover, and when he leaves for work in the morning, he's a novelist, she dutifully turns his slippers around so they'll be ready for him when he comes in the door at the end of the day. Then one day, she decides to take a job in a grocery store dressed in a little dress and hat and offering sausage samples on toothpicks to passing shoppers. Soon, a woman claiming to be a modeling agent convinces her to pose for photos. She says she's beautiful. This soon, though, turns into nude photos and then to hardcore porn on video. So she goes home shaken by this experience, but also she's somehow sexually awakened. She starts picking up guys she meets in central Shibuya, and gradually she drifts into the nearby Love Hotel district. That's where you rent a room for an hour, called Maruyama. There, she meets this crazed, dirty streetwalker who takes her under her wing and tells her about a mythical, Kafka-esque castle where all things will be made clear to her. So she becomes a disciple to this mysterious, fiery-eyed, raven-haired woman who tells her never, ever, in the future, ever to have sex for free unless she's with the one who loves her. But soon, she finds out this scary streetwalker is, like her, living a double life. She's a well-known university professor who lectures to pack halls by day, but trolls the alleys in disguise by night. But there's still further deceit in their secret lives. Guilty of Romance is a violent, sexually explicit exploitation drama based on a true murder story. So the director, Shion Sono, is amazing in that he takes very recent pulp news stories and turns them into way over-the-top, funny, gory, emotionally fraught, and semi-pornographic movies. I've seen three of these so far, of his recent movies, and they're all amazing. Not for the faint of heart, but if you like shock movies with terrific potboiler stories and super creepy characters like this one, the grandmother who speaks ultra polite but drips venom with every phrase. This is the movie for you. So Guilty of Romance plays tonight and Harakiri on Sunday, both as part of the Toronto Japanese Film Festival, which runs until the 20th at the Japanese Canadian Cultural Center. And Marina Abramovich, the artist, is present, opens next Friday. Check your local listings. The CFC World Short Film Festival is on right now through Sunday, and North by Northeast, Toronto's enormous music, film, and digital festival, begins on the 13th, next Thursday. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.